Have you ever stopped to think about how much we understand beyond just the words someone says? You know, the subtle meanings, the emotion packed into their tone. It's pretty amazing how our brains just get all that extra stuff. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really interesting study from the Brain and Language Journal. Our mission here is to explore this crucial brain structure, the corpus callosum, and specifically what happens when it's missing from birth. That's a genesis of the corpus callosum, or ACC. We want to see how not having that connection really impacts language, from, you know, the straightforward meaning right through to the nuances. So before this study, what did we generally understand about ACC and language? Mostly from adults, right?
That's right. Yeah, previous work, mainly with adults who had ACC but normal IQ, pointed to some really specific challenges. What was fascinating was that they struggle with non-literal language. So things like idioms, it's raining cats and dogs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or understanding sarcasm.
Okay, the stuff that isn't strictly word-for-word meaning.
Exactly. And also affective prosody, basically. Picking up the emotion in someone's voice. Is that happiness, sadness, anger? That was harder for them.
But the literal meaning was generally okay for adults.
Generally, yes. Simple statements, direct instructions, their comprehension seemed largely unaffected. The difficulty really lay in those extra layers of meaning.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting. This new study looked at children with ACC aged about 7 to 13. What was the thinking behind focusing on kids?
Well, it was a clever hypothesis, actually. See, in typically developing children, the corpus callosum isn't fully mature. It's not fully myelinated or, you know, optimally efficient until the early teens.
Ah, so it's still under construction, basically.
Kind of, yeah. So the researchers wondered, maybe the deficits in kids with ACC wouldn't look so different from their peers because everyone's corpus callosum was still developing. Maybe the gap wouldn't be as wide as seen in adults.
Okay, that makes sense. So they set up a comparison.
They did. They compared 18 children with ACC to 17 typically developing children, matched for age and IQ, and they used a couple of key tests. One was the FANLC, that's the Familiar and Novel Language Comprehension Test,
okay,
which looks at both literal phrases like the ball is red and non-literal ones like idioms, and then a separate prosody test for recognizing emotion in tone of voice.
And the results were quite surprising, weren't they? It didn't quite match that initial hypothesis.
Not entirely, no. It was definitely surprising compared to the adult findings. Here's the key thing. Unlike the adults, the children with ACC showed significant difficulty with both literal and non-literal language on that FANLC test.
Both. Wow. So even simple sentences were harder for them.
Apparently so. They struggled just as much with the straightforward stuff as they did with the idioms. It wasn't just the complex non-literal language.
Then what about the prosody? The emotion in the voice.
Well, there, the ACC kids did perform worse than the controls, but it was described more as a trend. And crucially, the difference in performance, the gap between the ACC kids and their peers, was actually smaller than the gap usually seen between adults with ACC and their peers.
Huh. So relative to their own edge group, the prosody issue wasn't as pronounced as it becomes in adulthood.
Exactly. Which suggests, you know, the impact of not having that corpus callosum changes over development.
So what does this all mean then? Why these specific differences, especially the struggle with literal language in kids, which we didn't really see in adults?
Well, the paper proposed a couple of complementary ideas. Theory one is about reduced overall neural connectivity. Basically, without that big corpus callosum highway connecting the two brain hemispheres, everything is less efficient. For kids with ACC, maybe even understanding literal language requires more complex problem-solving effort, something their brains struggle with because those interhemispheric networks aren't there.
Like taking slow local roads instead of the freeway, even for simple trips.
That's a good analogy, yeah. And maybe this struggle is more apparent in kids because for typical kids, literal language processing eventually becomes much more automatic, needing less that heavy lifting.
Okay, that makes sense. What was the other theory?
The second one is hemispheric specialization isolation. We know the right hemisphere is heavily involved in non-literal language and prosody. So if it's somewhat isolated because the corpus callosum isn't there to connect it efficiently with the left hemisphere, that could explain those difficulties.
But that doesn't fully explain the literal language problems in the kids, right?
Exactly. Which is why that first theory, the reduced overall connectivity idea, seems perhaps more compelling for explaining the full picture seen in the children. And this raises a really important point. It suggests that maybe the challenges, the cognitive and linguistic difficulties in ACC, actually sort of emerge and become more obvious as their peers' brains fully mature, and that corpus callosum comes fully online.
So the gap widens as typical development races ahead, in a way.
That seems to be the implication, yes.
Wow. So this deep dive really shows that ACC isn't just one thing. Its impact on language is complex, hits multiple levels even with normal IQ, and critically, it changes across development.
Absolutely. That's such a powerful window into how the brain matures, isn't it? And how vital these connections we don't even think about are for just everyday chat. You know, from understanding a simple request to catching the drift of a sarcastic comment, it really underscores the dynamic nature of brain development.
It really makes you think. Consider all those layers of meaning, literal and implied, that we navigate constantly. How might understanding this kind of developmental trajectory, like in ACC, eventually shift how we support learning and communication for everyone, not just those with specific conditions?